You had a little rat inside your head.
I always have a little rat inside my head.
The whole country of Ecuador will be offended if they hear this.
That is where I converted the three of you to the Church of Gelato.
Baptized.
We
are baptized
in San Diego.
Angela, why in the world would you go there and spend $500 on one meal when you can get over 70 4-for-4s?
Not the 4-for-4. Heyo, everybody. Welcome to our podcast, Tie Dye and Gelato. I'm Bailey.
I'm Angela.
I'm Corey.
And I'm Sienna. And I'm really excited for today's episode because we're talking about something very near and dear to my heart, which is food.
Food.
We love it.
Glorious food.
Today.
What an iconic scene.
Today, it's been a good day for me food wise. I went to work today, and I brought food. I brought a full lunch, and as I was sitting there at work, I was like, "Dang it, I want pizza!" So I ordered my favorite pizza. At Malawi's, which is like, it's got mozzarella and bruschetta and this delicious balsamic glaze. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So I ate that, even though I brought a lunch. I didn't even need it, but love I that. Ate it anyway. And then I drove up to my family's and we had a dish called Lau Lau. It's a Hawaiian meal, but like, it's our take on it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's pork and beef roast, is that how you say that? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Pork and beef roast, like slow cooked with spinach, and you eat it over rice. That's our version of it. That's not like authentic, but that's our version of it. And so I'm feeling very well fed and very happy at the moment. I like food.
We love it.
Well, some people don't love it as much as Sienna does.
I'd say very few people love it as much as I do.
I definitely don't.
Angela is one of the only people I've ever met who can rival my love for food.
Yes. I kind of also want you to give me credit for introducing you to Malawi's Pizza.
It was, yes, the first time that we ate Malawi's.
It was Valentine's Day.
It was Valentine's Day. Right. We were at work together, and we were like, let's get Malawi's. And you hadn't had it before, had you? Or had you had it?
So no, we were trying to get something else, but they were closed.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we got Malawi's pizza instead. We got this like citrus arugula pizza was so fun.
And we got the bruschetta
Bruschetta. Yeah. And I eat Malawi's really frequently ever since then. That was like a year ago. And I get Malawi's probably more often than I should.
Because it's delicious.
It's delicious. It's good pizza.
Yes.
And how.
Well, yeah, we're going to be talking about food. Do we want to start with our favorite food? Like our I don't know what we're doing. I wasn't aware of
I have
what.
A, I've Lori got a fun food story.
Oh, okay.
This just happened a couple days ago, and it has just made my whole week because I won't starve.
That's good.
I met some hobos. Just kidding. Morgan called me.
Morgan's his sister,
ago.
By the way.
Yeah, Morgan is my sister. She called me 2 days ago, and she said, "Corey, I have bagels." She goes to a bagel store. I'm not going to say so you don't steal our bagels. But she goes to a bagel store, and she asks them for all the bagels she's going to throw away, or they're going to throw away. And they just give them to her for free. And so she called ahead this time just to make sure they would save some for her. And they gave her, like, 6 boxes full of bagels, like big boxes. Whoa. Not like little takeout boxes, like moving truck boxes. Whoa. Full
like
of bagels.
Like big Costco size boxes.
No, bigger than that. Huge boxes. Yeah.
Well, that's too big for me.
And there was everything from like pretzel bagels to like the whole wheat bagels to cinnamon bagels, French toast bagels, just like everything.
It must have been a bad week for them.
I guess. But I brought gallon bags to put them in. I brought 40-gallon bags. We filled every single one with at least 10 bagels.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I took 3 bags home with me. So I took 30 bagels home, and that's what I will be eating for the rest of the month. Just bagels.
What did you guys do with the rest of them?
I don't know what she did.
Oh, my God.
I put them in my freezer.
Listen.
Yeah, we'll take some.
Alms for the poor?
We'll take some.
Well, I was going to say, as someone who makes bagels every day, that takes a lot of time to make that many bagels, so...
Maybe
it's
for the holidays that they made so many.
Maybe. I don't know. Hopefully they have
bless
a better process than
they're
I do.
Feeding me for free.
Great.
Wonderful.
We love it.
Yes. Okay. I want to transition into one of the most important food topics that I could ever talk about. And I think you guys will agree with me because I have converted you. Let's talk about gelato. Woo. It's in the title of our podcast. It's pretty dang important. So first, people are like, gelato, ice cream, it's basically the same thing. It is not basically the same thing. And let me explain. Gelato is made with less fat. Either it's made with skim milk or it just has less, like, heavy cream in it than ice cream does. And so you could quote-unquote say it's healthier, whatever. It's just made with less fat. And then it also has a slower churning process, which then actually results in it being denser than normal ice cream. And somehow that makes it far superior to regular ice cream. It is so good. And it is a crime against humanity that you cannot find good, cheap gelato in Utah.
Amen.
It is very upsetting.
I don't think you can find cheap gelato anywhere, though.
Go to Europe, Bailey.
Very, very cheap in Europe.
Yeah. Okay, I'm so sorry. I'm like the only one who's not been to Europe.
The cost of the flight's going to make up for the cheap price of gelato.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I agree. I have searched for good gelato here. Doesn't exist.
If anybody has just a really good gelato place for us to try, please.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We really need.
I mean, we loved the gelato, and the closest one that we've been able to find is San Diego.
Yeah, yes. So that's where this love of gelato started. So Angela has traveled a ton, and, like, you explain your thing with gelato.
So I've always, like, I don't know, since culinary school, they kind of taught us about gelato, and I was like, okay, so it's superior. I mean, you hear about Italy and getting gelato, right? Like, it's just, like, the bougier choice of ice cream. And then I went to France. And the first, like, store I ever walked in was this gelato shop that had over 60 different flavors. And it was amazing. It was, like, 2.5 euros. And you got a scoop of gelato in, like, a fresh-made cone. And throughout my time in France, we, like, tried all these different gelato shops. All the flavors were super fresh and delicious. And eventually, we started eating gelato at least once a day, sometimes twice a day. If you check out my Instagram, that's pretty much all I posted while I was in France. I got home and people were like, so how was the gelato? Because that's all we know that you did. And I was like, it was delicious. Thank you for asking.
That's all that mattered.
It's all that mattered. And so now there's a very special place in my heart for gelato. But you can't eat it in Utah, which is great for my budget. Because otherwise that's where all my money would go. But when we went to San Diego, I did my research, guys, and we were blessed by the gods with the Airbnb that I found, because it was right around the corner from the best gelato place I have been to in the States by far.
Oh, yeah.
And I think almost all of our favorite flavors came from that place. And that is where I converted the three of you to the Church of Gelato.
Mm-hmm.
Baptized.
We are baptized.
In San Diego.
I think I loved the, so it was called Anne's Dry Cleaning. Mm-hmm. And it was, I don't know if it was an old dry cleaning place.
It was an old dry cleaning place that they converted into a gelato shop.
Yeah, it still had, like, the vibes of a dry cleaning place. But it was just, like, this really cute gelato thing. And so all the flavors had, like, fabrics associated with it. Mm-hmm. It was so cute. Anyway.
And they had delicious gelato.
And they had delicious gelato.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go around and everybody can talk about their favorite flavor of gelato. I can start. So mine was from Anne's Dry Cleaning. Mm-hmm. And it was, we've talked on this podcast about how sometimes food will make me emotional. And this gelato brought a tear to my eye. It actually wasn't gelato. It was sorbet.
But they kind of go hand in hand, because a lot of gelato places also serve sorbet because mm-hmm. they're made in a very similar way. Okay. There's no dairy in sorbet, but I think, like, the churning process is very similar.
Okay,
from what I understand.
So can I call it a gelato?
No.
Dang it. Okay. Well, my favorite flavor was watermelon mint.
So good.
And it literally, it blew me away. Like, I remember we were, like, walking along the road, and, like, everybody had finished their gelato, and I was, like, savoring mine. And they had all moved on. They were talking about, I think Bailey was twerking in the middle of the street.
Listen, we don't need to go into that too much.
I was just, like, stuck. I was stuck on this sorbet that I ate. Like, I couldn't talk about anything else for, like, an hour afterwards. Like, people would, like, you guys would turn to me, and I'd be like, man, that watermelon mint gelato sorbet, excuse me, that watermelon mint sorbet was literally the most delicious thing I'd ever eaten. And it, yeah, I would consider that to be one of the most delicious things I've ever eaten in my life.
Wow.
Yeah. I still dream about it.
The cravings.
The cravings.
My favorite gelato flavor, I don't even remember where we got it. It wasn't Anne's. That's why Anne just said almost all of our favorites. But my favorite was lemon cream. Mm-hmm. And I just, I think of lemon as being like a really strong flavor. And it was just like a really light lemon flavor. And I don't know. I'd never had a lemon cream pie, I don't think. So I don't know. I didn't know what to compare it to, but it was just so good. And just like a tiny bit tart and really sweet at the same time. And I probably could have eaten a whole gallon of it. But gelato's so expensive, so would have spent my whole California budget on just that 1 gallon of gelato. But that's my favorite.
I loved the chamomile honeycomb.
Yum.
I just love chamomile, period. So that was why I got it. And it was just really, really good. I can't remember where I got it either.
And that was a unique flavor. Like, you can't find chamomile ice cream at the grocery store. And I think that's what is special about all these flavors. And one of the reasons I love gelato, like especially gelato and not just ice cream, is usually like the creativity that goes into gelato flavors is just so unique and special. And so I love going to the different stores and being like, yeah, let's try something I've never tried before and experience flavors in a different way.
That's how you know it's a good gelato place, is if they have weird named flavors or like weird combinations.
They
that's
had
what you
like,
try.
Yeah, they had like lavender flavors, rose water. They had like an olive oil. What was it?
It was like an orange olive oil. It was
That one's probably second favorite.
Yeah, that one was good.
That was good. Uh-huh.
That orange olive oil.
What was
your
favorite, Angela?
So my favorite is probably from France. The place that I worked was in Provence, which is like famous for their specific type of lavender that only grows there. And lavender is like such a hard flavor because either it tastes like you're eating soap or it's delicious. And I had some very good lavender gelato while I was in France. And then I had a caramel pine nut gelato. It blew me away.
Yum.
Guys, I think that's when I discovered my love for pine nuts. And now I just like, I'll put it on gelato even if like it doesn't come with it because it's so good. But I also just love getting to try all the different flavors, mm-hmm. going and finding a really unique flavor, something that's different, and just getting to try all of them and experiencing it with other people is always fun too.
Yeah. I just want to like mention, like backtrack to San Diego. So we got gelato. As soon as we went the first time, we were all like, okay, we get what you mean, Angela.
You were very skeptical, though, at mm-hmm. first. I was like, guys, we have to get gelato. And you're like, it's really expensive. We can just go to the grocery store and get ice cream. And I was like, no, you don't understand. We have to get gelato. Mm-hmm. So you guys, not too begrudgingly, came with me. But it was still like, okay, whatever. Angela and her food things. And then you tried it.
And then we tried it, and we were in San Diego for 4 days, and we got gelato 6 times. Mm-hmm. And I think that we did the math, and collectively, we spent, what was it, over $150 on, yeah. Like, collectively, we spent over
$150. More than $160.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. We spent a lot of money on gelato.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last day, we got gelato 3 times, and that was not my doing at all.
It was all, yeah, we would see a gelato shop, we'd be like, we're stopping. Yeah.
Ugh, gelato is so good, guys. Get good gelato. Maybe leave Utah, but get good gelato and understand the way it can change your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's my my TED Talk. Thank you for coming.
Drop the mic.
Drop the mic. Okay, so now I have a question. And I feel like this kind of obviously is food related because everything I talk about is food related. But this kind of speaks more into like people's psychology and stuff. What is the most meaningful meal or memorable meal you've ever had?
The most memorable meal.
The most memorable meal you've ever had.
Do you want me to go first?
Yes.
Okay. I have two. One of them is from my mission. So I served in the South. And Southern people have just like really, they're just, I don't know. The food there is so good. Maybe it's because it's like all fried and whatever, but it was so good. Anyway, but it was in my first area, and this family had what's called a low country boil. And so it's like crab, shrimp, I think there's crawfish as well, corn, sausage, and potatoes, and onion. Anyway, and you just boil it all together with like Old Bay seasoning. And then the best thing about it was just like how you eat it. So you drain the water, and then you lay out newspaper on the table, and then the mom just like grabbed the pot and literally just threw it onto the table.
I've always wanted to experience
it. It was so fun. And then so all we did, we didn't have any utensils at all. We just had our hands, and that's all you, and you just threw the, like, you just put the trash to the side. And it was so fun because everybody's just digging with their hands in it. And it was just like really, really fun. And the family there was so, who fed us that, was so kind, and they were just amazing people. We just talked the entire time and all made, like, had a good time. But I made it for our district, for a bunch of other missionaries later on, because they'd never had it, and it was just really fun. So that was probably my most memorable meal. Another one is really, really weird, but also really simple. I think I've made it for you once.
I know what you're gonna talk about.
Yeah, I was, yeah. Like, when I was little, my dad made me and my siblings macaroni and tomato juice. Yeah, what? It sounds really, really weird. So it's not like macaroni and cheese, like you don't have the cheese. It's just like macaroni noodles in tomato juice. And that's what he made us, because that's what his mom, and that's what his, like, you know, everyone who took care of him, who babysat him and whatever, would make for him. So anyway, that's what he knew how to make for his kids. And so so I still eat it. I still eat it to this day, because I think I actually really like it. It's formed into my comfort food. Mm. And it always reminds me of my dad and my family. Whenever I eat it, I just am like drawn back to them. And yeah, just
listen,
my joy.
When she told me about it, I was like, that sounds kind of nasty. And then she made it for me, and it's actually pretty bomb.
It's just like a comfort food.
Yeah. So is it really soupy? Just comfort.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of. I mean, you can make it as thick as you want, because you can do like tomato juice, which is soupier, or you can do like tomato sauce,
okay,
which is, you know, more, and then you can add as much water to it as you want to make it as soupy as you want. Mm. But I've done both tomato.
See, it's interesting listening to like what your most memorable meals are, because it's obvious like the nostalgia and the people are,
that's a big
honestly
thing for
probably
me, yeah,
more important to you than the taste of the food.
Uh-huh,
and
totally.
It's just the experience altogether. And I find that super fascinating.
Yeah. I have no recollection as to how like
how
the
taste.
Shrimp was cooked, like when I, like in the low country boil. I have no idea how like much Old Bay seasoning was put in. Don't remember anything, but I remember that it was really good. I really liked it, and the family was amazing. So
yeah, no, I love people. That's what's so cool about food is sometimes like it's not even the flavors or whatever. It just is the fact that it brings people together and creates memories. That's just like so impactful.
Absolutely. For me, I think food is a really, really cool way to experience other cultures. Mm-hmm. So I could not narrow it down. I have three, and I'll go through them super fast to not be boring. So first, we went to New York, and I got a bagel there at a place, I think it was called Junior's.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I got a poppy seed bagel with plain cream cheese. Mm. It blew me away, and I learned very quickly why people talk about food in New York, because that bagel was life-changing. Second, acai in Brazil.
Ooh.
So that was actually a bucket list item of mine, was to eat real acai in Brazil, like how they eat it. And I got to go to Brazil 2 summers ago, and I got to eat real true acai. And I went with Sophie. We got acai, I think, every day. sometimes multiple times in a day. And that was just really cool to, like, check off a bucket list item. And, like, I was in Brazil eating acai. Like, mm-hmm. so cool.
So what do they do that's different?
Well, first of all, the acai is just better. Yeah. Like, it's, like, a lot purer. Mm-hmm. It's denser. And then here in the States, acai is, like, a healthy thing. They throw, like, granola and all
bananas
this.
And bananas.
And all this stuff on there. It's, like, a treat in Brazil. Mm. So they put... Sounds weird, but they put, like, milk powder Ooh. On it. So good. That was, like, my favorite part. Mm. Milk powder, sweetened condensed milk. And then you can throw other stuff on there, like... I really liked it with strawberries. That was my favorite. It was just strawberries.
Have they done, like, coconut?
Yeah. Yeah, you can put coconut. You can put, like... they have a candy called paçoca. And they'll, like... It's like a peanut butter mm-hmm. candy. And they'll crumble that up and put it in.
That's so
really,
cool.
really good. And I'm always disappointed by acai here. Plus, it's so expensive. Mm-hmm. And then the third one, I ate so much good food on my mission. I served in Portugal. But a meal that comes to mind is sardinas, which is sardines. okay, listen. They don't do, like, the canned sardines. They're fresh. Mm. They're fresh mm. sardines. And so I remember I had this meal with a member, and she made us, they grill them. So all they do is they put olive oil and kosher salt on these sardinas, and then they just grill them on both sides. And this is a really memorable meal because, like, I felt so immersed in the culture because she slammed these two, like, full fish on the table in front of me. you eat it with, like, she served it with, like, a tomato, onion, and vinegar salad. And I just remember being blown away by how good it was. Like, she put these two fish in front of me, and I was like, uh-oh. And, like, that was one of my very favorite meals I had in Portugal, and I felt so immersed in the culture, like, picking mm-hmm. the meat off of the fish head. Like, it was so awesome.
That is super cool. Yeah, and you can tell, like, your stories definitely show that, like, you love experiencing culture, and you're definitely more of a flavor person than Bailey mm-hmm. is, but it's still, like... The most meaningful is when you also get to, like, understand more about other people through their food.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
My two stories are – I do have two. My first one is when I was little. I wasn't that little. I was, like, maybe 12, 13. My family was going through, like, a really hard time financially, and my mom would just make food out of nothing, basically. And I was always so impressed by that. Kind of a staple in my family that we have all the time is shepherd's pie, but we make it with ground beef, so I think there's a different name for it, but we call it shepherd's pie. And it's basically just, like, green beans on the bottom, then meat, gravy, mashed potatoes, and cheese on the top. It's like a casserole kind of thing. And I remember my mom one time, just, like, through this period of poorness, which has been my whole life, but it was especially, we were especially poor at this part. Of my childhood, but she took frozen broccoli out of the freezer, put the hamburger meat on top of that, put barbecue sauce on top of that, then the potatoes and the cheese, and that's what we had for, like, our shepherd's pie. And it was so good. I can't tell you, just, like, I don't know if it's, I don't know what made it so good, but I just remember just, like, how she made something out of nothing was just, like, incredible to me. And, like, she made it taste good. And my mom has always just been a really good cook and just someone who can take nothing and turn it into something, like, whether it's food or whether it's, like, a person or, like, a circumstance. She's just really good at that. So I guess that meal just kind of, like, embodies, like, what I think about my mom, just how incredible she is. And then my other food is from my mission. I served in Ecuador for my church. This one, too, was from just a really poor family. And the first thing they told us when I got to my mission was, if somebody puts food in front of you, eat every last grain of rice. And they give you a lot of rice. But they told us, eat everything, because they might be giving you their children's food. And that's, like, a really big honor. Like, don't reject it. Make sure you eat it all, because it's just, it's a really big deal. And I remember this family gave us this plate of rice with this questionable looking meat on it. And I just started to eat, and I was like, what part of the cow is this? I don't even know how to describe it. It was like tough and chewy at the same time. It must have been cartilage or something. But I was disgusted. Absolutely disgusted. And hopefully this is never translated so that they don't know. I'm sure they won't know, but the whole country of Ecuador will be offended if they hear this. But I was. It was just like so gross to me. But I ate like they told me to do. I ate every last bite of that meal just because I knew like how much it meant to that family. And I guess I'm not really like, I don't know, not much of like flavor. I'll let you decide, Angela, since you're the insightful one.
You know how people interpret dreams? Uh-huh. You can interpret our food taste.
Well, I like what stands out is both like just the love that your mom put into the food and then also the love that these people put into this food of like, we are sacrificing to feed you, even if it's disgusting. And I think you see more of like the heart behind the meal than the meal itself, even if it tastes disgusting. You're like, I still really appreciate this meal and it's very memorable because of the amount of love that you're putting into this meal.
Yeah, that makes sense. I hate mushrooms and olives, and my mom will make me like a separate like pot of whatever she's making without mushrooms and olives, and I always feel so bad because it's like that's like a whole like other meal that she had to prepare just for me.
But that just shows how much she loves you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would make you eat the mushrooms and all.
Yes, you would. I would not eat them.
Yeah, you just pick them out.
Spit them out. Wow. I give them to you.
Well, sometimes I like to hide things that you don't like in your food. I mean, not necessarily you, but I did that to Spencer once. Wow. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Well, now I'm going to sound really bougie and also just like talk about flavors because that is important to me. But the most memorable meal I've had that comes to mind is this summer I went to Ireland, and that's always been a bucket list place for me to go. And I feel like the UK is not super well known for like their amazing flavors. You think of the UK and you're like, maybe fish and chips and like weird sausages and like bland food.
Haggis.
And haggis. You're right. And I also am aware that Ireland is not part of the UK, but they're very close. So they have somewhat similar stereotypes about their food. But I was very blessed and gifted an experience to go to a Michelin star restaurant. And as like someone who loves food, this was like the best gift I probably ever received. And it was incredible. It was a tasting menu, which means they give you, like, I think we had 18 courses. And it's just, like, little tiny bite-sized things. And all of the produce and all of the ingredients were sourced from different places in Ireland. At the end, they gave us the menu to be like, this is what you ate. But then they also gave us a map and showed us where everything came from.
That's so cool.
Which is super cool. But, like, what's I always find impressive in restaurants is when I go and I am like, I would have never thought to put these together, but it's delicious. If I feel inspired when I go to a restaurant, then I consider it a really good experience. Mm. And then if it tastes good, that's even better. But like we had, I ate rabbit and there was lamb, which like lamb from Ireland, it was super good. And the crazy thing is they gave us the menu and it was like, lamb and asparagus. And I'm like, I want to know every single thing that was on here. And so it was me and my sister and one of our best friends who went. And after the meal, I literally sat down and I like wrote down everything I remembered about each course. Because I'm like, okay, I know they said this and I know they said this. And oh, I don't remember. So I would be like lamb with artichoke paste and this. And I break, and something, because I couldn't remember, but I knew there was something else. But honestly, the most special part about the whole experience was getting to share it with my sister and my friend, because they do really appreciate food. My sister, not quite as much as my friend, but, like, we're working on that. It's okay. But I think it helped them to see just why food is so significant in my life, and just getting to share that with them and getting to see their reactions as they tried things they've never tried and experienced textures and flavors and the combination of all of it was like really what made it so special for me, to also be in a place that I've always wanted to go, and the fact that it was gifted, just all of those things made it really significant. So that's probably my most memorable food experience to date.
You know what came into my mind as you were like talking about like all these different flavors and all that stuff? Y'all know the Ratatouille scene where like he's like trying, what is it, the cheese and the mm-hmm. strawberry? Is that what he's trying together?
Yeah. A symphony of flavor, and it goes to black
yeah. and it's just like him trying mm-hmm. and like fireworks are going off. That's what I imagined was going on inside your head. You had a little rat inside your head.
I always have a little rat inside my head.
Before we wrap this episode up, I just want to ask Angela. So Angela has a degree in culinary arts. She loves food so much that she got a degree in it. So I just want to ask you, why? Why do you love food so much?
That's a great question. I feel like there's lots of different layers. When I first started getting into food, so to preface this, my mom cooks and she does a great job feeding our family. She does not enjoy cooking. It's not like, oh, I have so much fun finding recipes and trying new flavors. It's more like it is necessary to feed 8 people, so let's feed them. And I appreciate that very much about my mom. However, I had a neighbor who, like, they'd can things, they had a garden, and they really, like, sparked my love for cooking. And I also just really like hanging out with people. So it was, like, the fact that we could, like, spend hours in the kitchen together with my close friend and I could learn about food and feel creative that was, I think, the initial spark for me. But I also realized, like, food brings people together in a way that nothing else can. And it breaks down barriers. When you're eating, like, you can have some of the most deep conversations you've ever had. I mean, sometimes you talk about nothing also because it's so delicious that you don't want to say words. But, like, food, like, sharing a meal with someone is way more intimate than a lot of other things. And I just love that about food. Mm-hmm. Also, like, cooking for someone is, like, an incredible gift of love and gift of service, and like feeding people good food is just like my favorite way to like show people that I love them. I don't know if that answers your question, but those are the thoughts that came to mind.
Well, we all know that Angela loves us because she cooks for us all the time.
That is true. Yeah. I do love you guys. And you obviously love me because you tolerated me putting this podcast or this topic in our podcast.
Oh, I didn't tolerate it. I celebrated it.
Oh, my God. Well, Corey and Bailey were like, sure, I guess we can let Sienna and Angela talk about it.
We could have done this episode just us two. Just kidding.
Yeah.
No. I actually really loved hearing about, like, your guys' things because, like, me and Angela, like, yeah, we like good food. We like food that tastes good. But it was really cool to, like, hear about, like, the emotional
impact.
Elements
yeah.
that food has had for you guys in different areas. Mm-hmm. Like, that was really cool, actually.
Yes.
It made me think of experiences that I've had that are similar to both of yours, where I'm like, that was a memorable meal, and not because the food was good.
Yes. Also, while Sienna does, like, understand food more than most people, I honestly really appreciate Bailey and Corey because I feel like they understand it enough that we can have these conversations. And I'm going to throw Spencer under the bus because I still think about it and it makes me upset.
Ouch.
But
he has no mic to defend himself either, so it's fine.
So there's this very nice restaurant in California that is kind of a dream of a lot of, like, foodies to go to, but it's at least $500, like, for the meal. And I was telling Julian Spencer about this place and how, like, for one of my birthdays, I would love to go there, but you have to make reservations years in advance and things like that. And Spencer goes, Angela, why in the world would you go there and spend $500 on one meal when you can get over 74 for fours?
Not the 4 for 4.
That he can't eat anymore.
And, you know, at that moment, I realized some people really just don't get it. And I think, and Bailey and Corey do get it enough that they don't make fun of me for wanting to go.
But
to
here's
really
the thing, I'm
restaurant.
Also a sucker for some Mickey D's.
Oh, yeah.
Some McDonald's.
Hey, I love so my 4 for 4s, but I still would spend $500 on a meal.
Angela, I would come with you.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, okay. I would do it.
Have fun.
Dead serious.
Yeah, have fun. I'm gonna pay for my schooling with that. Thank you. Well, with that, I think we've come to the conclusion of our food episode.
Go eat good food, people.
I know. Go eat good food. If you want to leave a review on our podcast, go for it. Hit us up on Instagram. DM us with any questions if you have
any. If you have food questions, just let us know.
Or any food suggestions, because
yes, if you know a good gelato place.
It's so good.
Yes. Or any good
restaurants. Or just any good food. I would say, just food. I mean, if you find a good gelato place, then please send us that. Anyway.
Thanks for listening.
We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.